Do you get excited about the empty tomb? Let me try that again. Do you get excited about the empty tomb, brothers and sisters? Yeah. Hallelujah. We have hope because of the empty tomb. We have hope. If the tomb were still occupied, we wouldn't have any hope. And so this day should excite us because the tomb is empty. And we might feel, yeah, but we've celebrated this before. But this is just another occasion to be excited that Jesus is risen from the dead. And seated at the right hand of God the Father, He was victorious over death, which means we can be too. That should excite us. He was victorious over the grave and over the devil and over sin, which means we can be too. That should excite us today again, brothers and sisters. Amen. We give God glory today, don't we? We give God glory. Let me pray before we go any further. Father, we give you praise and glory today. The tomb is empty. No other religion can claim their leader has risen from the dead. And so we claim the resurrection today. We worship the resurrected Christ today. We long to see Him face to face. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that people today would be risen from the spiritual deadness of our souls and our lives and live for Jesus. So that one day when we close our eyes in death, we will live with Jesus. And so I pray, Heavenly Father, today that in and out of churches, this churches and churches everywhere, and in homes and in hospitals and in jail cells and in prisons, that people would be risen from the spiritual deadness today to encounter Christ and live for Him today and live with Him forever. I pray, O Father, you would do that by your Spirit. Isaiah reminded us, by His stripes, that's Jesus, we are healed. We can be healed from sin. We can be healed from affliction and torment in Jesus' name. And I pray that that would happen today all over the globe to the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name. Thank you for everyone that's come. Thank you for churches that are gathering right now. May your Spirit guide us. May your presence overwhelm us. May we bow to you, the risen Jesus. Speak to us today by your Spirit, Heavenly Father. Speak to our hearts. You already have through these beautiful songs. We're listening. Thank you for everyone here. Speak to us. You know us by name. You know yesterday. You know tomorrow. You know that if our name is yet written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you know if we're ready for heaven. Speak to us today by your Spirit, O God, I pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. When the members of the Virgin Mary Church in the village of Al Aour, Egypt, this is 150 miles south of Cairo, assembled that day, their group was smaller than usual because just a few days earlier, in February 2015, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, better known as ISIS, had decapitated 13 of their church members. I think a lot of you probably saw that, those men on their knees along the banks of the Mediterranean that day. The 13 were part of 20 Christians murdered by ISIS that day. These Coptic Christians had gone to Libya. They're from Egypt. They had gone over to Libya simply to look for work. They were captured / kidnapped by ISIS in December 2014 and held until they were executed in February. Each of these men that morning were given the chance to recant their Christian faith. The men were given a chance to denounce Jesus, and they would be spared. They all refused. They all went to their death with the name of Jesus on their lips. These 20 Christians, believers, represent just a few of who have fallen under the torment of Christian persecution around the globe. But the story doesn't end with the 20. The story also has a 21st man. There were 20 Christians captured by ISIS that day in Libya. But there was one other man. His name was Matthew. Matthew was an African man. He was kidnapped along with the other 20. But he wasn't a Christian. Not sure why they captured Matthew. But they held him as kidnapped and brought him to the beach that day too. And they said to Matthew, after they had killed the Christians, very simply, they said to him, reject the Christian faith or die. Matthew, having observed the faith of the other 20, decided that what they believed must be real. And he confessed to the ISIS captors that day, their God is my God. And they executed him too. Matthew went to paradise that day, just like the thief on the cross that said, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. You see, he had made a decision about Jesus. And Matthew, seeing these other 20 men beheaded that day, watched them do that. None of them were willing to say, I will deny Jesus. Not a one of them. And Matthew simply said, I want what they've got. As I read that story in Dr. David Jeremiah's book called Is This the End? I asked myself why. Not why did they get killed. I know why they got killed. Because they claim the name of Jesus and some people don't like that. But why are people all over the Middle East and really all over the world willing to die for Jesus? And I wonder today if we're willing to die for Jesus. You see, when you ask martyrs, those that have died for their faith and their families, why they would do that, why they would go through punishment and torture and mayhem and despicable acts of horror and death, I've read many, many, many accounts as to the why. They simply say, because Jesus did it for me. He suffered and he died for me. And you see, friends, when we really get real, really get serious with Jesus, he does something in here. When we really surrender to Jesus, I've had this ongoing series, a lot of you know it, some of you don't. It's called Dying to Live. When we really get serious with Jesus and we are willing to die to self, it's only then that we really live. And even in the face of persecution and death, we can still say, I'm going to live for Jesus. Because He's done something in here that's changed me, that's changed us. I thought about that scene and 100 others just like it over the years since we've had these uprisings of extremists. I can't quite imagine what was going through their head. I don't know what would be going through mine. I wondered if I would think about my beloved wife or my children or my grandbabies or you, my brothers and sisters. Or if my mind would just be filled with Jesus. He died for me. I'm going to come home to you. We may or may not know. Because we may or may not have to go through a situation like that. And I tell us this little story, friends, because Jesus died for us so that we could live. I'm not just talking about living the flesh. I'm not just talking about breathing air every day. He said that I came that they, that's us and anybody that will follow Him, might have life and have it to the full. And you see, friends, if we never get around to addressing sin in our life, and believing in Him, He is the Messiah, He is Lord, and receiving Him as Savior, we're still dead in our spiritual walk. We might be living, and we might be breathing air, but we're dead spiritually. And if we're dead spiritually, and we die physically, we will be dead eternally. We will be, the Bible calls that the second death. We will be eternally separated from God. And so I remind us of this little story this morning because Jesus died so that we can live. He died on the cross and He rose again. John 20 tells us about that. I'm just going to paraphrase it. You can follow along in your Bible or you can follow along on the big screen. John 20 tells us about He rose again. On the first day of the week, the Bible says that Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark. And she saw that the stone had been rolled away. And so she ran back into Jerusalem, the Bible says. And she got a hold of Peter and John and perhaps others, but those two we know. And she said, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb. She just assumed the stone is rolled away. Somebody must have took him. We don't know where they've laid him. Peter, curious enough about this, ran therefore back towards the tomb and the other disciple, that's John. And so they ran together and the other disciple outran Peter and he came to the tomb first and he stooped down, the Bible said, and he looked in. He saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Peter came following him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there. The cloths that had wrapped up the dead body of Jesus just on Friday before. But the head cloth that was around his face and head, John writes, was not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Let me ask you something. Thinking of Matthew's account, if you read through all four Gospels, they've all got this morning's account. But if you go back and read in Matthew, the long and the short of it is the guards were paid to tell a bogus story. The bogus story was that his disciples come along and stole him. Even though we're standing there guard, We're watching over the tomb. We're not supposed to let anybody touch it. They came up with this bogus story. They were told to tell this story that his people come and stole him. I ask you, would someone stealing a dead body take the time to fold the head covering and lay it back in place? I don't think so. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first, he went in also, and he saw and he believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again on the third day. Then the disciples went away back to their own homes, but Mary was still there. She'd come to the tomb in the dark. She'd gone back to Jerusalem running to get Peter and John. She'd come back to the tomb again, and the Bible says, but Mary stood outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb and she saw two angels this time, one at the head and one at the foot of where Jesus had been. And they simply said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said, "Because they've taken away my Lord and I don't know where they've laid him." Now when she said this, the Bible says she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said the same thing to Mary, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing the guy standing outside to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away. And Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she, recognizing the voice this time, turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her then, "Do not cling to me, for I have not ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples. They had already gone back, remember. She went back again to Jerusalem. She told them again. This time she says, "I have seen the Lord." If you read Mark's account, it says that Mary comes back and tells him, "He's alive." And they believed him not. I don't think she comes strolling back into town, casually, nonchalantly, saying, "Oh, by the way, I seen him. He's alive." I think she come back into town with excitement and passion and a willingness to live for him. I think she come back to Peter and said, like I would say to Jim, "He's alive! I saw him. You saw the empty tomb and I've spoke to him." I believe she come back and said to John, like I'd say to Charlie, "He's alive!" With excitement and a renewed energy. And I wonder this morning, friends, what does the empty tomb and the fact do for you to know that the tomb is empty? How does that resurrected Jesus affect you? I'll tell you how it affected Dr. Gary Habermas. Some of you have read his books. He's written a lot of them. He's written 7 books alone on the crucifixion of Christ. Debbie, his beloved of many years, was dying of stomach cancer. This is 1995. And one day, as she lay in her room upstairs dying, Gary thought about what some of his students had said to him from time to time, because they knew in his classes, they knew too that Dr. Habermas's wife was dying. And from time to time, a student would say, "At a time like this, doctor, aren't you glad about the resurrection?" You see, as I mentioned, Dr. Habermas had already written 7 books on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His students knew his position on the matter. They knew he believed it. They knew he taught it. They knew he lived it. And so one day, as his wife was slipping away, the thought, as he was in the deck or the porch or something of his house, and his wife was slipping away in the upstairs bedroom, Dr. Habermas cried out to God and said, "Why is Debbie up there in bed? Why is my wife up there dying, God?" And Gary felt the presence of the Lord and the question, "Gary, did I raise my son from the dead?" "Yes, Lord. I believe that's true. I believe that you did. But what about my Debbie?" he said. "Why is she dying prematurely of stomach cancer?" And the feeling, the inaudible voice, "Did I raise my own son from the dead?" And Dr. Habermas says, "The resurrection of Jesus Christ says that if Jesus was raised from the dead a couple thousand years ago, then there's an answer for my Debbie too." Are you hearing me this morning, friends? If Jesus was victorious over death and the grave a couple of thousand years ago, there is hope for us too. There really is hope. And Gary said, if there is a resurrection, if that part of the Bible is true, then there is a heaven. And if Jesus raised from the dead, then my Debbie will be raised, even if she does die from cancer. And someday, if this is all true, and Gary said, "I believe that it is, and I stand before you here today, friends, saying, I believe it too. If this is true that Jesus was raised from the dead, then there is hope for all of us. If we will trust Him and surrender to Him and believe in Him and live for Him, there is hope in the resurrection." Amen? In John 11, I'll wrap it up for us here in just a minute. Some of you know I just mentioned John 11. That's where Lazarus died. Jesus raised him from the dead after he'd been in the grave 4 days. In John 11:25, Jesus gives us hope. Because Martha had come to him and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." He said, "Your brother will rise again." "Yeah, I know he'll rise again," she said. "I know he'll rise again in the last day." And Jesus answered with this profound statement that said, in essence, "Martha, listen to me. People, today, listen to the words of Jesus. Jim, pastors, churchgoers, non-churchgoers, listen to me. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection." She said, "I know he'll raise and the resurrection day. I know that he will, Lord. I've heard your teaching." And Jesus said to Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life." He said to her, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live." That is our hope, brothers and sisters, because the tomb is empty and the Christ, the Son of God, has been raised from the dead. That is our hope. Now listen to me. I'm not quite done about this. I am the resurrection and the life. Until we have been born again, until we have been reborn in our spirit, Jesus addressed this in John chapter 3. You can read all about it. Until we have been born in the Spirit. We've all been born of the flesh, otherwise we wouldn't be here today. Until we have been born in the Spirit, we are dead in the Spirit. And Jesus said, "I came to give you life." He said in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me." You see, we can do something about the deadness of our spirit, the deadness in our sin. That comes from Jesus when we put our faith in Him. We have life. We go from death to life. I'm not talking about physical right now. I'm talking about spiritual. We are dead in our spirit if we haven't been born again. And Jesus said, I come so you can have life. Hallelujah. I don't want to stay dead, spiritually speaking, because if I stay dead, spiritually speaking, I told you what will happen. We die physically speaking. We will all die someday. And if we are dead, spiritually speaking, we will be separated from God for eternity. I don't want that for me, and you don't want that for you. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. And the next verse, and whoever lives and believes in me, he shall never die. And he asked Martha that day, do you believe it? You see, friends, we can argue and rationalize all we want. I'm a church member. I'm a pretty good person. Been baptized once. Go to church once in a while. We can argue and rationalize all we want. But until we've been born again in our spirit, we're dead in our spirit. And if we're dead in our spirit, we're never going to be with Jesus, now or forever. And we can say, well, I believe, Jim. I believe that he was real. I believe that the tomb could even be empty. Are we willing to die for Jesus? Have we repented of our sin, believed that He is the Savior of the world, and received Him as Lord? Because until we have, we're still dead in our spirit. You see, the choice is ours, friends. Much of humanity today would not decide like the 21 on the beach. Much of humanity would say, yeah, I think I could do that. But when the rubber hits the road, they would say, I'm not willing to do that. Much of humanity today will decide that he's really not worth dying for. Matter of fact, I got to live a little first. And we will continue to live for ourselves and continue to walk in the flesh, and tragedy or anything else could happen, and we're dead, we're gone, and it's too late. You see, friends, I've said this a lot of times, but let me say it once more, because today is a big, important day in the Christian calendar. No definitive answer to follow Jesus, to surrender completely, to repent of sin, and claim Jesus Christ as Lord is an answer. No decision to follow Jesus, to repent of my sin, to deny myself, no decision to follow Jesus is a decision for eternity. I have to decide, what am I going to do about Jesus? This is not a denominational thing, by the way. This is all straight from the Holy Bible. This is not a Jim thing. This is not a Free Methodist thing. This is the Word of God thing. And I could ask you this morning, do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? And a lot of you, maybe everyone, would say yes. I could go out on the street and ask the same thing. Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? And some would say yes, some would say no. And I could ask you this morning, do you believe that Jesus is the only way to God the Father and to heaven, like He said? Not Jim, like Jesus said. I could ask you, do you believe that? And some of you would say yes. Some say, oh, not so sure about that. I could go out on the street and ask the same thing, and many would say, no, I'm not so sure about that. But the resurrection is true. And the Bible is true that says He's the only way to heaven. So then we have to ask ourselves, am I willing to follow the truth? The choice is yours. Look, just like the choice was mine a long time ago. The choice is yours. Am I willing to follow Jesus? I'm not talking about a head knowledge. Yeah, I believe in him. I'm talking about surrendered, repentant faith in the Son of God that bids me follow, and I say, yes, Lord, I will follow you wherever you lead. That's what I'm talking about. You see, God didn't make us robots. He could have, but he didn't. He gave us the freedom to choose. And he wants us to choose him. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads. Everybody, close your eyes. Bow our heads. And I'm going to ask you to pray. Followers of Jesus, pray for people that aren't following. Bow our heads, close our eyes. Whether it's somebody in your family, somebody at your work, somebody beside you, I'm asking you right now to pray for their salvation. And I'm asking us, while we're listening to the Father, I'm asking all the rest of us here, are you really ready to be in heaven because you have confessed your sin, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and received him as Savior? Because if that hasn't happened, if you've not been saved, if you've not been born again, friends, it's time. Tomorrow might be too late. And so if God is speaking to your heart and saying, it's time, what are you waiting for? I want you to stand up. Nobody is looking but me. If God is speaking to your heart this morning and you know it's time to die to the flesh so you can start living for Jesus, I want you to stand up. And acknowledge, nobody is looking. Everybody's got their eyes closed and they're praying. They're probably praying for you. I want you to stand and acknowledge you need Jesus. The old ways need to be the old ways. I want you to listen to the voice of God because I know he's speaking to people today. He's speaking to people in churches everywhere. You see, church attendance isn't what gets you to heaven. Your surrendered faith in Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. You must be born again. And so with our heads bowed, our eyes closed, and people praying, there are people standing too, and I thank you for the courage to acknowledge Christ. If there are more, stand now. You can say no. God's probably speaking to your heart, and you can say no, but there'll come a day when you wish you didn't. And so if he is speaking to your heart, stand today, repent of sin, believe he is the Son of God and receive him by faith. Our heads are all bowed. Our eyes are all closed. We're still praying. And those of you that are standing and those of you that should be, pray after me. You can pray it silently. God hears you. But pray this morning. Heavenly Father, forgive me. I have sinned against you. I have done things my own way. My good works won't get me to heaven. My surrendered faith in the Son of God will. I want to receive Jesus this morning. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died for me. And I want to receive him by faith. And so I'm asking, Lord, come into my life. Take over. I'm answering the call. I know you're calling me. Come, follow me. I'm answering the call this morning. Jesus, help me. Give me the strength. Save me. Write my name down in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life. You may be seated, those of you that are standing. Let me pray for the rest of us. Father God, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for the empty tomb. We can scoff at that all day long, but that's not going to get us anywhere. That's not going to do us any good in the end. Jesus is alive. He's seated right now at your right hand, Heavenly Father, interceding for us and the rest of the world. And you see these today, Lord Jesus. You see that they've taken a stance for you to repent of their sin, to confess before you with their mouth, to believe in their heart, and to receive you as Lord. And I thank you for them, Father. And I pray that you would help them in the journey with Jesus. And there are others here this morning, Father, that maybe haven't made preparations for eternity. Maybe haven't decided about Jesus. We can call ourselves Christian, but we haven't died to self. We're still dead in our spirit. And if that's the case, I'm no one's judge, Father, but you will. You'll judge. And if that's the case here this morning, I pray that they wouldn't have any peace in their spirit or rest on their heart until they get right with you, the living God. I pray that for our community, for our families, for our co-workers, for the Americans, and for the world, that we wouldn't have any peace in our heart or rest in our spirit until we've gotten right with you, our Heavenly Father, through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so today is the day of salvation for some. And so I just pray, Father, that those that are still wrestling with you in their mind right now, they hear your voice calling, come follow me, surrender. And they're still wrestling, not sure they want to. Father, help them to surrender to you and start living for you. Thank you, Father, for making the way for us through your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross and shedding your blood for our sin. Thank you, Father, for the plan to redeem us back to yourself. If only we'll trust you, if only we'll believe, confess our sins, and follow you. Thank you for making that very possible for all of us. And so, Lord, thank you for this day and the celebration that we have had on this day of the resurrected Jesus. And help us, Father, that maybe have made that decision some time ago, to be willing, like the 21, to follow you. If you bid us to say, I'm going to follow my Jesus no matter where it leads, even if it leads to the cross. Help us to be willing. Help us to make that stand today. I'm going to follow my Jesus. And then I'm going to see him face to face. Thank you, Jesus, for making that all possible. I pray in your precious name. Amen.